Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are real. Thank you that you are good. Thank you that you are here. Thank you for everyone here, Lord. Thank you for your love and your goodness to us. I pray that you would use these words to tell your story and to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey guys, my name is Anna Kristen, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, shame, and bulimia. This is the story of God's relentless love for me and my journey of discovering that He alone is enough. If you only hear one thing I say, hear this. The God of the universe loves you. He does not love you because of anything you have done or ever will do. He loves you because He made you just the way He wanted you to be. I was born and raised in a large and loving Christian family. I distinctly remember accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 4 years old after my mom read me the story of Doubting Thomas. I was born with something called Duane syndrome. I am missing a nerve to my left eye, so my left eye cannot move to the left. To compensate and prevent my eyes from crossing and having double vision, I am always turning my head to the left. I know there's a lot of lefts in there, but you'll get the point as I'm reading this. When I was a baby and my parents first discovered this, there was no way to correct it. So they did the best thing they could do and taught me that I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God, just the way He wanted to make me. I remember my spunky and outgoing little self going around and showing off with such joy the unique and special way that God had made me. But as I got older, it was no longer cute and fun to be cross-eyed as kids began to stare and make fun of me. Around age 10 or 11, I saw a home video of myself, and for the first time, I saw what I looked like to other people, with my head turned so that I couldn't even tell what I was looking at. I was mortified. I felt shame and embarrassment and finally understood why people stared. This was my first memory of being self-conscious and wanting to hide myself, but it was only the beginning of all the things I would grow to hate or want to change about myself. I believe this started my dual life. I was one person around my family and friends and turned nearly invisible around new people or those I didn't trust to accept me. The result of these two contradicting personalities was a deadly combination of pride versus shame. I learned to focus on the things I could control to keep up a perfect, well-liked image, while on the inside, I was growing in self-hatred. I worked hard to become a high-level gymnast and graduate at the top of my high school class. I nicknamed myself Miss Independent, and my motto was Tough Enough, meaning I didn't need the help, acceptance, or approval from anyone to make me happy. Although I grew up attending church, I was not developing my own relationship with Jesus Christ. I was not letting the truth of God's word shape my understanding of Him, but I let my feelings and circumstances inform me instead. I concluded that God had dealt me a bad hand and made a mistake when He made me, a flawed, ugly human being. Well, at least if He made me ugly, He also made me strong in spirit, and I was built to handle the deepest of pain and rejection. My pride and my resilience continued to grow. In high school, my desire to change my eyes turned into a desire to have thinner, more angled face and smaller hips and thighs. I began obsessing about my appearance and restricting food intake. I developed depression, likely due to the growing mountain of shame and pain that I hid behind the mask of perfection. Depression quickly spiraled into other symptoms of anxiety, panic attacks, cutting and self-harm, and bulimia, which only added to my shame. Once again, my parents did the best they could by taking me to doctors, therapists, and putting me on medicine. Instead, I felt like they were overwhelmed and ashamed by me. They hid my struggles from others to protect my privacy, but I actually felt more shame. I really was just an ugly monster to be kept hidden. In pride, I resented God and my parents. I came to believe that they had done nothing good for me, They did not love me like they claimed, and I did not need them at all. I doubted the realness of God, as I couldn't understand how a good God could have done all this harm to me. When I left for college, I turned my doubt and bitterness into full-blown rebellion against everything. I looked to the world and all it had to offer to make me feel happy, accepted, or numb. Dating relationships, partying, alcohol, and sexual promiscuity. As these vices failed to keep their promises to fulfill me, I continued to carry my depression, anxiety, cutting, and bulimia to cope with the pain and mess that was now out of control. After 4 long and lonely years of running, the circumstances and situation brought me to a dead end. I knew I had lost and God had won. I had no idea what to do with the destruction I had caused, except to hand it all over to Him. And I wasn't even sure how to do that. I assumed I'd receive a lot of punishment, but He met me there in the middle of the storm, and I was reminded of the story of the prodigal son from my childhood. The father had run out to the son with embracing joy and threw a party for his return. Did God really love and want to bless me like that? I lived the next couple years on the fence between the world and walking with Jesus. I was trying to be a good person and wasn't actively rebelling into sin, but I was still fixated on my body image, getting attention from men and finding my worth in accomplishments or outward appearance. I justified that my sin of bulimia was not affecting anyone else, so it wasn't that bad, right? I moved to Dallas in 2013 after a year in Bible school and was more determined than ever to do better this time. I was working nights in an ICU, so my schedule made it difficult to build relationships, despite the fact that I had joined Watermark and was in a community group. I turned straight to food for comfort. I would eat all night through my shift and stop at 2 or 3 fast food restaurants on my way home in the mornings to eat as much as possible before purging as soon as I got home. I was trapped again in the lie that something other than Jesus could satisfy, and was easily able to hide and isolate in my sin. My pride told me that each time I struggled would be my last. A mentor encouraged me to come to Regeneration. In a rare but crucial moment for someone who struggles with pride, I was finally willing to admit that I couldn't fix it. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." I had proven that to be true far too many times. I had known about Jesus for a long time, but I was still missing something that was keeping me from the love, power, and healing that I knew existed through Him. I was more excited than nervous to begin and end this process of recovery and healing once and for all. I'd heard it takes about a year to complete, and I thought, I can do that. Only one more year of struggles forever. That attitude alone shows my arrogance and how little I understood about a real relationship with Jesus Christ. I can't forget the freedom and relief I felt when I shared in newcomers group for the first time. I was specific about my struggle with bulimia because I figured if anyone could handle the truth, it would be all of you. Rarely, if ever, had I specifically used the word bulimia. I always cared too much about what others might think, so I would use a less shameful word, like body image issues or an eating disorder. However, God's power was at work, starting with that first time I brought it into the light for what it was. In that moment, my pride was no longer trying to hide my mess, and my shame was no longer allowed to define me. I was both honest and accepted at the same time, fully exposed without judgment from others. See, I didn't know that first night that I was struggling with other things like pride and shame. I had simply decided to explore this thing called recovery, not knowing all that I was about to learn along the way. I knew immediately I had come to a safe place. I dove off eagerly into groundwork and quickly saw how much my pride and shame wanted to resist God's love for me. It seemed the words, "the God loves you," were written on every single page, specifically for me. In the first 3 steps, I was blown away by how it was possible for me to have known the gospel my whole life and still miss what it means for me on a day-to-day basis. It means that He loves me unconditionally, while I am running from Him, seeking things like approval, acceptance, and attention to satisfy me, Relentlessly, he pursues me with his grace and hope. My identity and value are found in that truth, that he loves me, accepts me, and considers me worth dying for. Titus 3, 4 through 5 says, when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. I am not defined by the size of my body, nor the amount of praise I receive from others. I am safe to admit that I need him and cease striving for perfection in my own strength. If he loves me this much, then not only does he have the power to heal me, he wants to heal me. And he can be totally and completely trusted in all things. Here arose the new problems that I had not originally come here for. Pride, thinking I didn't need help, and shame, having a hard time believing that God really loved me. Overall, not trusting God to be all that he says he is. It was powerful and humbling to feel like I was hearing and understanding the gospel for the first time. As I moved on through the steps of inventory and confession, I noticed that my problems went far deeper than I anticipated. These steps felt a lot like those 3D puzzles that you stare at for a long time and squint your eyes just right, and all of a sudden the image pops out at you, and then there's no way to look at the design without seeing the hidden picture. Except for I could never do those because of my eyes, remember? All the pieces of my life seemed like random and meaningless squiggles on a paper. The work and process of inventory and confession allowed distinct patterns to surface, and all the chaos began to make sense. By far, the most horrifying thing for me to discover is that I actually do care a lot about what other people think of me. Me? Miss Independent and tough enough, who didn't need anyone for anything? I had no idea I was living in bondage to others' opinions of me, and it was really hard reality to swallow. My mentor, leaders, fellow group members, and community group were there to encourage me when these difficult things came to the surface. The fact that I had that many people who knew the full truth about me and still accepted me was huge in helping me overcome the fear that people would never really love me if they knew me. I was also wrong in thinking that my sin had not hurt others. Idolatry of myself meant that I had neglected relationships with others, was quick to judge and criticize them, had angry outbursts when I didn't get my way, and felt justified in holding on to hurts and resentments. It wasn't until I understood that God has freely and completely forgiven me that I was ready to extend forgiveness and make amends with others. It was through prayer and perseverance from the Holy Spirit that I moved through these steps in obedience to God's word. I learned that humility, the exact opposite of my long-standing pride, is the key ingredient to owning my sin and seeking to reconcile with others. The more I obeyed his leading to keep short accounts and reconcile relationships quickly, the more freedom I experienced, and my confidence in his word grew stronger. Recovery became the action steps for all the knowledge I had acquired since I was young, but never practically used. The final steps of recovery brought about a complete perspective shift. Life is miserable and lonely when I'm focused on myself, and so full of joy when I'm looking to Jesus and outward to serving and loving others. Of course, the prideful part of me would love to be able to tell you that after Regen, I have finally figured out how to be perfect. However, if I didn't struggle, then I wouldn't know that I need Jesus. I have found that of all the places I've been, dependency on Jesus Christ is the sweetest place in the world. As long as I'm alive on this earth and live in my broken human flesh, I want to be dependent on him. Don't get me wrong, there are plenty of days when I wake up and my old self tries to take over. I want to spend hours in front of the mirror picking myself apart or boasting about how I have it all together. Sometimes I lose the battle to my flesh and trudge through the day in pride and idolatry of myself. But those are miserable days and serve as brief reminders of the darkness I used to live every day before recovery. I will always be a work in progress and will spend the rest of my time here on earth practicing and getting better at using the tools and steps. I have discovered that recovery and Christ are so intertwined that my daily walk in relationship with Jesus is synonymous with my recovery from pride, shame, and bulimia. I now recognize the power of Scripture and the importance of spending daily time in the Word and prayer. Beginning the day on my knees with the Lord is admitting that I am powerless without Him every single day. Memorizing and frequently recalling Scriptures to mind is like finding shelter when the tornado sirens go off. It keeps my emotions in check and my mind grounded in truth. I have a community group and mentor who have continued to walk closely with me after Region. They are a safe place for me to ask for prayer and encouragement when I am tempted to turn to old habits of food, hiding in guilt and shame, attempting to control situations, or idolizing what others think of me. Through the conviction of the Holy Spirit and having a safe place to share my struggles, it is much harder for me to isolate and hide in my sin. I can freely confess when I have messed up, and they accept me without judgment, pray for me, and speak the truth of God's word about what my next step should be. I have a new job with regular hours to keep me out of hiding at night. I live with more boldness and purpose at work with my coworkers and patients. Because I know that my value and worth is found in Christ alone, I am free from worrying about what they might think of me. The spunky little girl has been restored. I'm not trying to keep up a perfect image, but I can tell people about my battle with bulimia and other struggles as a testament to God's power in my life. I'm not meant to be the weird Christian girl who keeps to herself and doesn't make any friends. I'm called to build relationships and relate to people in their brokenness and pain so I can offer the hope of God's love and grace. His love is not unique to me. It extends to the heart of every hurting person who will accept it. Shortly after Region, I started dating Brooks. And wow, have I been learning even more about God's love for me. I was nervous since I did not date during the year I was here and had never really dated a Christian. I was not prepared for the way he started pursuing me with humble, Christ-like respect. He committed to leading in purity and honesty from the first date. I, however, put pressure on myself to have a perfect Christian courtship, so my sin shifted from idolatry of my body to idolatry of the relationship. And any time I am seeking identity in something outside of Christ, I will be miserable. I also felt old patterns of shame creeping in, as it was still a new concept to believe that I am loved and worthy of love. Burdened by these feelings, I did what I had always done in the past and put up my walls and ended the relationship. Not long after the breakup, I began co-leading a group in Region. What I didn't realize is that coming back to Region would open my eyes to my pride and faults in the relationship with Brooks. It was incredibly humbling to be obedient to God and go back to Brooks, own my pride, make amends, and reconcile what my sin had broken. But that's real life recovery. Being a leader does not exempt me from continuing that recovery. And as I've watched the girls in my group grow from hopelessness, bitterness, and anxiety to joy, forgiveness, and freedom, they got to witness my heart go from cold and controlling to warm and accepting as Brooks followed the Lord and did not give up pursuing me. It is by God's grace and goodness that He's used Brooks in my story as a vessel of Christ's love for me. We are now engaged to be married this summer, and I couldn't be more excited to see how God will use our marriage to teach us more about Himself. I have been able to reconcile many relationships through the recovery process, including my parents. Words could never express my gratitude for them and their obedience to God to teach me the truth of Scripture from the very beginning. They never stopped praying for me and loving me unconditionally, despite my hardness of heart. It is incredibly healing that they are here from Nashville tonight to celebrate His faithfulness in my story. Fittingly, one of my mom's life verses has become a treasured part of my journey with Jesus as well. When I came to Region, I had searched the earth for something to satisfy me and came up wanting. After recovery in Christ, my heart has found what it was looking for. He alone is enough. And as Psalm 73:25-28 says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. As for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." If this is your first time, I am so glad you are here. Whether you're nervous, excited, fearful, or indifferent about being here, know that you are not here by accident. You were not created by accident, and God has been intentionally pursuing you with his great love. He knew that life circumstances and decisions would bring you here tonight. You are in a safe place. Tonight you've heard his story of rescue and redemption in my life. Now don't be afraid to open your mind and heart to the grace, healing, and freedom he has for you. Thank you for letting me share. To God be all the glory.